I love this church. As we keep on repeating, we might not have all the bells and, what do they say, bells and whistles, but one thing I know for sure, we have each other. We have each other. And maybe the bells and whistles are not like the most important thing, but to have each other. Amen. So thank God for that. Thank God for this place that we get to use for free. Thank God for Wayne. May God bless his, you know, his company. So, and this morning I just, you know, have the privilege to share God's word with you. And I would love to ask God to just bless us at this time right now. One thing that I learned in my beginning steps in growing in my relationship with God, I learned the approach of, like, every time I open God's word, to just take a minute and understand what I'm doing. You know, if I really believe that God speak to us, to his word, just take a minute and acknowledge the fact that God, you know what? I might have, you know, and especially if you are like reading the Bible for many, many years. For example, today we're going to open in Ephesians 5. Maybe you already read Ephesians 5 so many times. And we can be like familiar, like, oh, yeah, I heard this. Oh, yeah, you know, I was taught this in the past. But one thing that I appreciate that I was taught was to always approach God's word with an open heart. And even pray, like, God, would you, like, speak to me? Would you, like, encourage me? Would you, like, direct me? Would you, like, correct me if I need correction? Would you, like, change me if I need to be changed? And I think that's a good thing, you know, because it takes away, like, the familiarity. It takes away, like, you know, the you know, same thing, right, the Christian do, like, you know, reading the Bible. No. We want to really, like, hear what God has to say to us. And I think that's a good practice. I always like to remind myself of that. So if you don't mind, let's just pray. And maybe in your heart, you know, just say a little something to God. God, you know what? Can you, you know, we are not wasting our time here. We came here to worship you and to give you thanks. We came here to bless each other with our lives. But also we came here today believing that you are alive and you are speaking and we are your dear children and you want to guide us and direct us. So would you do that today? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we want to make this the attitude of our hearts as maybe we come Sunday after Sunday, and Father, this can become very, like, normal, and we can be very, like, familiar with doing what we do as Christians. But Father, we never had this day before. We never had this Sunday. We never had this opportunity where you could speak to us, and maybe something that will be precise, something that we really need, and something that will steer us and encourage us and direct us, something that we really, really need today. So thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. Bless your words to our hearts. And Holy Spirit, please illuminate your words as we hear. It's what we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5, it is like a great, great portion from God's word. Here, right from the beginning, you know, we will be called as children of God to be imitators of God. And the word imitators here, it's really like to mimic. Like God wants us to mimic him as our Heavenly Father. And I was thinking about the phrase, like, you know, like father, like son, you know, and daughters as well. That today we want to hear this and we want to see the heart of our Father. And we want to do our best to imitate. We want to do our best to mimic. And today specifically, we're going to, you know, by God's grace, we're going to cover these four ideas and four points here that it's really, really great. The first one that we're going to look here in Ephesians, and we're going to cover verse 1 to 20, maybe, if you give me 2 days to cover that. You okay with that? No. Maybe 20 minutes. What time did we start? They say when the, you know, a pastor put like the watch right beside, like in the pulpit, do you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. It's like, it should mean something, but, you know, history shows that it means absolutely nothing. It's just like, hey, that's much it's a much better idea. Or someone with a sign right there, hey, land the plant. So number one, idea number one is that God is love, 1 John 4:8, and therefore he's calling us to walk in love. Number two, God is light, and therefore he is calling us to walk in light. God is true and truth, and therefore he's calling us to walk in wisdom. And God is a spirit, and therefore he is calling us, his children, to walk in the spirit. So four great things for us to, you know, be thinking about this morning, like walking in love, walking in the light, walking in wisdom, walking in the spirit. Let me tell you, you know, this is something that if we give a heart and our ear to hear, it can really make us like better people, you know, better like husband, better wives, better children, better human being, better like, you know, boss, worker, better you, really. There is so much here that we're going to see. And I love this word like walk. Every time you hear like walk in the light, it's the same word for live. So God wants us to live in the light. God wants us to live in love, live in wisdom, live in the power of his spirit that it's available to us. So let's dive in. Point one, God is love, and he wants us to walk or live in love. And that's Ephesians 5, verse 1 and verse 2, which says this, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved and give himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I love, you know, being his imitator, you know, as dear children, to walk in love. I love 1 Corinthians 5:14, that it says that Christ's love compels us. Christ's love, I don't know about you, but the love of Jesus Christ demonstrated to me in the cross of Calvary. I grew up Catholic, so I grew up, you know, watching, theater pieces of, you know, the Passion of Christ. And then, of course, you know, Mel Gibson did that amazing, like, movie, The Passion of Christ, where, and I remember, you know, what was the name of the actor? Jim, that was Christ. Cavizzo. And I remember watching that movie, and I remember, you know, this scene of Jesus on the cross, and he did such a good, actually, you know, God did something amazing in his life with him doing that movie, and he tells the testimony. But one thing that kind of like jumped was the love that I could see, you know, in Christ's eyes on the cross, taking upon himself all my sin, all my mistakes, you know, past, present, and future. And it was such a revelation to me, you know, such a revelation. So, and I love that because it is that love that compels us. It is that love that it's very, very convincing. It is that love that has the power to move us, to direct us, to change us. The love of Jesus Christ. Very compelling. In my life, as I look back, I'm telling you, you know, the changes and the growth that I have experienced as a child of God, It is really because of the compelling love. The love that it's calling me out, you know, to grow and to be a better person, a better human being. And I love John 15, 13. It says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But it gets even better because Romans 5:10, it says that Christ laid down his life for us when we were enemies. We just studied that in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. And he came to love us and to save us and to give us life that we didn't have. So actually, our love to him, it's really a response of his greater, greater, much greater love for us. You know, the more that I respond to God's love, the more that I grow in loving him. Isn't that a reality? And this is the love that, you know, compels us. And this is the love that he's asking us to imitate, to walk in, to live in this kind of love, to display the heart of our Father as we are, you know, his children here on earth. And I don't know about you, walking in love, living our lives in love, you know, there is so much like hate all around us. It's almost like, you know, love is really contrary to the trends that we see all around us. So to walk in love, it's such a great provision from God to a hurt world, to a hurt humanity. That it's fighting, competing, right? And God is calling us, do you know what? I want you to do different. I want you to walk in love. I don't want you to be another hater. And it's so easy, right? So, so easy. But God is calling us for something better, for something bigger. And that is to live in love. And if we were to ask, you know, how can we be practical about this living in love, right? As we read Ephesians 5:3-7, you know, very challenging and very like direct to our face, but thank God for his love that gives us the power, compels us to act when we read these things. And this is what we read. It's gonna, you know, it's shocking, it's challenging. It says this, verse 3-7, let there be no sexual immorality or impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. For you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things of these people, in the things that these people do. Again, we read this portion, you know, and we go like, wow, that's challenging. That's a list of things that, you know, it's like we are involved and we have fell into, and God is calling us to grow, and God's calling us to have a position, you know, about that. He wants us to be the best. You know, God, he wants the best for us. And that's why, you know, he named specifically, you know, these sins. And because he wants us to understand how the power that these things have to damage our lives. Damage our lives. And it does. You know, as we think about, like, for example, you know, sexual immorality and impurity, right? And the word here for sexual immorality involves the whole package of sexual, you know, things. You know, the word that it's used here in the Greek, it's porneia, and it involves, like, you know, a list that all of us, in one way or another, you know, we can say, like, you know, guilty. It involves, like, you know, prostitution. It involves, like, you know, extramarital sexual intercourse, adultery, pedophilia, promiscuity, incest, premarital sex, homosexualism, lesbianism, bestiality. So a whole list that it is, like, really shocking, but God is calling us as his children to be very careful because, you know, these are things that has really, like, hurt and damaged people. These are things, you know, there is several, like, categories of sin. But God's word says that the ones connected to, you know, sexual, it really, like, leaves, like, big scars that God will forgive us for sure, but we can carry those scars with us. You know, in my own life, I know that I have some of those scars. Thank God for his grace and mercy for forgiving, but I still can see some scars in my soul from areas of sexual immorality. And God is calling us, you know, as his dear children, he's saying, you know what? I have a better plan for you. And I want you to help you to navigate these areas so that you don't damage yourself and damage other people. And sometimes, you know, very hard to recover. And we know that. We have heard stories. So, you know, God is bringing this up and putting in our face just like that because, you know, he has a plan for us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And he wants us to think about this ahead of time. And he wants us to think twice when we are, you know, being, like, you know, faced with, like, this type of sins and this type of temptations. God wants us to, you know, be prepared. And I love that, people. I love that. I love the fact that God's word tells me the truth. And this is the truth of God. It's not the truth of man. Right? I mean, we could all, like, you know, I don't think about that. And I could say, like, yes, I don't think like that as well. But see, the important thing, it's not how you think. It's not how I think. But the important thing is how the creator that created us made us who we are. What does he think about the things that it's healthy for us and the things that has the potential to destroy us? And this is one area here with a great potential to destroy, to cause damage. But here's the good news. The love of Jesus Christ compels me to have victory in this area where I might be weak. And we all are. We all are. But thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for God's hands. And also, not only God's hands, but the hands that we get, you know, in the middle of God's people, that when we fail in some of these areas, and we do, you know, we have a hand to just pick us up and lift us up and say, like, do you know what? Stand up and keep on walking with God. And his love is that power that compels me. I remember me, you know, as a young, like, child of God, walking with God and learning the Bible. And I remember the challenging that this area specific was to me. So challenging. I remember telling my pastor, you know, when I first started going to church, I said, you know, I will come here. But please don't touch, you know, the lifestyle that I have that I really like. And he said, I'm not doing that. If God wants to do something, he will do it. And it's up to him, not me. I said, okay, I'm okay with that. And see, because God loved me and he cared for me, he taught me those things that, you know, made a difference in my life. And it's still making a difference in my life, in the life of my family, as we teach these principles. So God is like, walk in love. And walking in love is contrary to walk in impurity and sexual immorality. And it's a place where God is calling us to grow and to be victorious instead of being a victim. So many people are day in and day out a victim in this area specific. And God is calling us to be victors. He is calling us, he wants to give us the power to overcome even like strong areas like this. Through his love, we can overcome. And it's interesting here in this list because, you know, right after like sexual immorality and impurity, he talks about greed or covetousness. You know, it comes right after because these two sins specific here, you know, are different expressions of the same basic weakness that we all have as a fallen nature, and it is our uncontrolled appetites, isn't it? You know, greed is the same thing, uncontrolled appetite. Uncontrolled appetite that we want to satisfy. And sometimes, you know, satisfying by taking what does not belong to us. And God is saying, this is not walking in love. And I want you to walk in love, would you? And I want you to give the power to walk in love, would you? You know, we have all experienced like greed, right? But here we are. God is not like beating us upside the head. He's just calling us for a better calling. A calling that it is from up high. And he is not just calling us for that, but he's giving us the tool and the empowerment from his word and from his spirit for us to live and have victory in this area of our lives. So, you know, because this is serious, and it is, God is serious about this as well. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And he's saying, you know, don't participate in this. Stay away from this. Don't partake with those that are making fun of this. And you know, flee from immorality. Run from the appearance of evil. See, those are the calling for the children of light. Those are, you know, the instructions that God gives us as we walk in love. Don't you love that? I love that. I love that. And that's just point number one. Do we have time for point number two, three? We do? Drew, how are we doing? All afternoon. It's because you are the pastor. Yeah. Okay, point number two. It's as good as point number one. God is light, and therefore, he is asking us, challenging us to walk in the light, to live in the light. Ephesians 5, 8 to 14, it says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Another great calling here. Walk as a child of light. Walk in the light. Live your life in the light. We study chapter 2, where, you know, we learn that we were born in darkness, but Christ came to give us light. And now he's calling us to walk in the light, because as we walk in the light, there is a production, and the production is good. It is a production of good fruit. It is a production of goodness, you know, which is a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. It is righteousness, which means like rightness of character before God and actions before man. And both of these qualities are based on truth, which is conformed to God's word, which is conformed to God's great will. We want, as child of God, to walk in light and to walk in God's will for our light. We want to find his will, and we want to be obedient in doing it. We want to mimic our Father. We want to please him. I love, you know, Jesus, he had so much to say about light and darkness. For example, in Matthew 5:16, he said this, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I mean, can you believe that you can do this, me and you? We can do this. We can let our light shine. Remember the song that we taught, you know, little kids? This little light of mine, I'm going to what? Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And let not what? Satan blow. Let your light shine. God is calling us for that. Jesus had that to say about being the light. But also, you know, in John 3:20 to 21, you know, pertaining to darkness, he said, "Everyone who does evil hates the light, and it will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed." And I remember being there. I remember not wanting anything to do with God, because I knew that if I came close to him, you know, areas in my life would be like exposed. But I just did not understand that, you know, the exposition of those areas was for my own good, because God had something better for me, because God knew what was ahead, and he knew, you know, where my head will be beaten, and he knew where I would be like damaging my life and other people's life. He knew that, you know, us coming to the light, it is the best thing, because God can expose us and expose areas in our lives, but it's for our own good. It is for our own benefit. So instead of like hiding, instead of like, you know, I'm not going to come to church because, you know, I'm going to hear something that I don't like. So what? It's better hear something that I don't like today than, you know, get scars that I'm going to be dealing for the rest of my life. Don't you think? It's much better to hear something and be challenged in an area that I might go like, you know, come on, than to, you know, hurt someone for the rest of their lives. Again, walking in the light, it's a much better plan from God. To walk as children of light means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything. It is what it is, God. If there is anything, just like, you know, we approach God today with opening God's word, you know, if there is anything that you have to reveal to us, please do so, and may I be obedient to your direction. Please do so, O Lord. And also we need to remember, you know, Hebrews 14:13, it says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Almost sounds like a Shakespearean. It's from the King James, I believe. This one here, you know, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hey, There is nothing that you can hide from God. We can hide from people. Yes, 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 we can. But you know what? Everything is naked. When you understand that, you know, it gives you the good kind of fear in your heart. Not the fear of like running from God, but the fear of like, you know, respect. Knowing that He is God, I'm not. But He loves me. He has a plan for me. He wants me to produce like good fruits. He wants me to have a future. You know, He wants me, and not only me, but, you know, my family and the descendants after me to be, you know, eating from the blessing produced in my own life. You know, and that's what He has. And we love Him for that. Walking the light also means revealing God's light in our daily lives. By our character, by our conduct, you know, bring God's light into a dark world. Light reveals God, produces fruit, but also light exposes what is wrong. Doesn't it? Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Think about that. God has a plan for us all. And the plan is that if we believe in Him, we are not going to stay in darkness. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. We are going to come, you know, to the train of light. And that's a much better train to be than the train that it's in the darkness. I want to be in the train of light, right? Because there is like great promises from God for me when I walk in the light. And again, Matthew 5:14, you know, Jesus told about His disciples. He said like, you are the children of light. You are the light of the world. What a great responsibility for us. With great power has great responsibility, right? And we do. Number three, quickly here. Number three, God is truth, and therefore He's asking us to live our lives in wisdom. He's asking us to live and to walk in wisdom, walk in truth. Ephesians 5:15-17. So be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Hey, if you came to church today just to hear that, be careful how you live. That's great. That's great. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. What does that mean? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So the idea here to be careful how we live, you know, it's another translation say like walk circumspectly. That's a big word here in English. Can you say circumspectly? Say that 10 times and I will be embarrassed here. Circumspectly. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. So the idea, you know, this word comes from two like Latin words that means like looking around. And the idea is that God wants us to be precise. He wants us to be accurate. He wants us, you know, it's the contrary of being like carelessness and without guidance and what without like a forethought. You know, God, He doesn't want us to live our lives as you know, up to the chance. But He wants us to have a plan and to make wise decisions, to seek the will of God, to take advantage of every opportunity. It's part of God's plan. And one great idea for us to get wisdom every single day, a piece here and there, is to read the book of Proverbs. I learned that with my father-in-law, you know, read one Proverbs. It's, you know, 30 days, 31 days. You have 31 Proverbs and read one chapter of Proverbs every day. You can get a lot of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And we need, and God is calling us to walk and in wisdom. And then the last point, it's one of my favorite, and I'm going to end here. Point number four, God is a spirit, and therefore, he is asking us to walk in the spirit. And the portion here of scripture, it's this, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks to everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was reading this part here, I thought about us, you know, having our service in a brewery, right? You know, what a great opportunity for us right in here. What a great opportunity, right, for us to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the spirits, right? I mean, there's nowhere in the Bible where, you know, God prohibit us to, you know, have a beer or have a wine, you know. But God give us so many examples in the Bible about living a balanced life, a controlled life, a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Moderation should be the mark of every believer. And the Holy Spirit is there to give us moderation, to make us conscious of things that can steal us and take us to a direction that we didn't, you know, even like plan to be. So, you know, here we are in a brewery. But the brewery, it's not really inside of us. Yeah, we can enjoy a beer, but the beer is not controlling my life. Yeah, I can enjoy a wine, but the wine is not controlling my life. Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is. That's a much better thing to think about it. We want to fill ourselves with the Spirit, and we want to be careful about filling ourselves with things that has the power to control us. You know, and that goes for other areas as well. You know, we can talk about eating, right? We can talk about, like, smoking. We can talk about, you know, what's your favorite sin? You know, God is like, be filled with my Spirit and be careful with things that I gave you for pleasure, but I don't want those things to take over your life. I don't want those things to control you. I want you to be wise. And you get wisdom here by being filled with my Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust, the power of the flesh. And every day, it is a good prayer to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Guide me through your Spirit. And I'm telling you, you know, sometimes when you pray that and you are wanting God to, you know, make that a reality in your life, you know, you have an opportunity and God will be faithful to whisper, like, you know what? Maybe that's enough. Maybe you don't want to be part of this conversation here. This thing that they are showing their computer, maybe you don't want to see, right? Maybe this party, you know, you should be there for the first hour and not like hour 3 and 4, right? Wisdom. The Holy Spirit whispers, giving us knowledge, right? Giving us wisdom. I love that. I love that. And then, you know, verse 19, sing psalms, sing hymns and spiritual songs and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Kyle, that's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, we can make music in our hearts to the Lord. He said, yes, you can. You can bless me with the singing in your heart. And that's great if you don't have a good voice, if you are not up front here singing, and you cannot even sing, like, besides your wife, because, you know, your husband will, like, you know. You can sing in your heart to the Lord. Make music and please him with that. And then verse 20, and give thanks to everything, for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are, you know, the season of the month. You know, Thanksgiving is coming. What a great opportunity we have to be thankful people, you know, to be thankful. One thing that I learned long time ago as well, yes, I can be thankful. And the reason why it's that, you know, I can complain a lot. If I can complain a lot about a bunch of things, you know, I can say thank you a lot about a bunch of things. And it's a much better thing that God is calling me to do. So again, what a great portion of scripture here. You know, walk and live in love, walk and live in the light, walk and live in wisdom, walk and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And today we just want to say, God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for challenging us to this call that it's from up high. Yes, maybe we don't see it right here. It's from up high. Thank you for that. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit that enables me to live a life like that. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy that picks me up when I'm down and I made a mistake and I disobey you. Thank you for your mercy to pick me up and put me where I need to be again. And Lord, thank you for one another. Thank you for the encouragement that we have by seeing each other do their best to live a life that pleases the Lord, to make adjustment when it needs adjustment. You know, it's every time, you know, we are together, it's an opportunity to learn and be encouraged, and God uses that. So we are thanking God today for one another, and we are thanking God for our church, this group of people that God called to spread the good news. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here with us. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to worship you, but also an opportunity, Lord, to hear from you, from your word, and to have your spirit like directing and changing us from the inside out. Thank you so much for my brother and sisters, and thank you for the way that we can learn with each other. Father, I have learned so much by just sitting around and talking with my brothers and sisters here at Good News Church, and thank you for the purpose that we have for us as a church. And today, Lord, if there was any area that you kind of like put your finger on, it's because you love us, and it's because you know what is ahead, and you have the best for us. But also, Lord, in a very practical way, this world needs more people that will walk and live like that. In love, in light, in wisdom, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, you know, if maybe there is an area that God is talking to you, you know, you can just say, Lord, thank you. He say in his word that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. So God forgive you, and he's calling you to a different walk. A walk that will please him, but it's a walk that soon and very soon you're going to look back and say, it pleases me. Thank God that I turn my direction. Thank God that I abide by God's word. Thank God. So, Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for working in our hearts. And Father, as we start this week, may you and your word and the Holy Spirit just help us to apply what we have been talking this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. And thank you for the opportunity.